2 Samuel chapter 9, please. Book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And we will commence a reading at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Amen and amen. Let us bow, please, for a moment's prayer. Let us all pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee again for the blessings of thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the blessing of being able to read it in public, to be able to carry it freely to the place of worship, having many copies, Lord, in our homes. We thank Thee for all of these blessings, Lord. How often we take them for granted. Lord, forgive us for such, and be pleased to bless Thy word to our hearts, Lord, today. We ask these things for Thy glory and for Thine honor. Amen and amen. This morning, I would like to invite each one of you to come with me to a battlefield. A battlefield which is located upon the mountainous regions of Gilboa within the territory of Issachar. Before us this morning, there are two armies. On our left is the powerful and the impressive army of the Philistines, led by King Achish and the proud princes of Philistia. And facing them on the right side is the lesser armies of Israel, led by a king who is head and shoulders above the rest of his men. And he is flanked by his three sons. And as the battle commences and these two armies engage, from our vantage point, we listen to the war cries. We hear the clash of the swords, the flight of the arrows. It is not long before we see the sights of defeat. Saul not only sees his soldiers fall before him, but he sees his sons fall round about him. Even Jonathan, whom David loved as his own soul. We see the Philistine infantry follow hard upon Saul. And look, look closer, for Saul has been hit by an arrow. The scriptures declare that he is sore wounded. He stops and he commands his armor bearer to thrust him through. He will not have the Philistines to abuse him as they abused Samson. In fear, his armor bearer refuses. So Saul removes his own sword from its sheath and he falls upon it. He becomes his own executioner. His armor bearer then follows his example. The armies of Israel on that day are greatly humbled by their defeat. The news of this great defeat, it spreads quickly and it soon reaches the royal palace. And panic ensues. And as we look into the palace, we see Jonathan's nurse snatch a young baby from its crib and flee for their lives. For it is the Eastern custom that when a new monarch begins to reign, that he will extinguish the house of the old monarch. But fleeing, an incident happens. And somehow the young child falls, and from this time forth, the child becomes lame on both its feet. The nurse and the young Mephibosheth and the remnants of the family slowly make their way to the far side of Jordan, to the house of Machir in Lodabar. There, there to live a life of seclusion. Some 16 or so years have passed, and we come to 2 Samuel chapter 9. King David has reigned and himself has fought many battles since his coronation. He has grown in power and God has been with him and helped him to subdue his enemies. And as he sits on his throne, he remembers. He remembers a previous covenant with Jonathan. And if we look at verse 3, we see, and the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet." The king sought to show the kindness of the Lord unto Jonathan's family. And David sends then for the young Mephibosheth. Does he send for him to kill him? To put him to death? To put the remaining line of Jonathan out of existence? No. No, he doesn't. He sends for Mephibosheth to show the kindness of God unto him. It is this kindness this morning, dear congregation, that I seek to speak on. The kindness of the King. The kindness of the King. Let us then look at the one who was sought by this kindness. The one who was sought by this kindness. We have the person, Mephibosheth. He was the one that was sought by this kindness. He was lame, as the scriptures declare, on both his feet. We read that in verse 3. It is stated that Jonathan's son was lame on his feet. This would have affected every part of his life. Whenever he decided that he was hungry, he couldn't just leave his seat and go there to where the food was stored and to fix for himself a meal at his own convenience. No, this lameness affected all of his being. When thirsty, could he go and get the fine water and drink of his fill? No, he would have had to have that assistance, sought someone to go there and get the water and the food and to look after him daily. Oh, this affected all of his daily life. He was helpless. Mephibosheth was helpless. The scripture emphasizes that he had fallen. Through this incident, he had fallen and became lame on both of his feet. Let me draw your attention, my dear friend, this morning to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And let me read it for you. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." My dear friend, this morning, as Mephibosheth's lameness affected all of his life, it permeated through all of his actions and his thoughts, his being. So too, my dear friend, this morning, are you spiritually lame? You are spiritually lame this morning.
For as Mephibosheth was affected in every way, so as sin entered this world and it affected you through your birth and through your actions, so too has it permeated through your life.
And there's not one area, my dear friend, this morning that sin has not affected. Sin has affected us by birth and by our actions. We being the children of Adam, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And having sinned against our God by thought, word and deed, we are guilty of our sin, and the due punishment must be meted out on those who have sinned against God. Oh, my dear friend, this morning, Mephibosheth is a picture of the sinner. Regardless of the handle that you put upon your actions and your thoughts, those actions and thoughts, they are sin against God. We are guilty of our sin in thought, word, and deed. You know, my dear friend, you cannot walk in the ways of God when you are in unbelief. Mephibosheth could not walk, for he was lame on both his feet. And as he was lame and it affected both of his legs, so too are we affected in that sin of birth and that sin of action. We are born sinners. We are doubly lame spiritually. Oh, my dear friend, this morning, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How are you fixed this morning, spiritually speaking? Are you spiritually lame, or have you confessed your sin before God and to the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, pled His blood upon your sin? Mephibosheth is a picture of the sinner. Another name for Mephibosheth is Mirabeel. There are a number of shades of meaning to these names, Mephibosheth and Mirabeel, one of which means exterminating the idol. It's not interesting this morning. Exterminating the idol. Let me ask this morning, what idol have you set up in your life that's hindering you? What idol is hindering you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin? Oh, you see, you're spiritually lame. The person sought by this kindness was Mephibosheth. Let us notice the place in which he resided. This person, where did he reside? Well, we read that he resided in Lodabar. He resided in Lodabar. Verse 4. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. This lame man, lame on both his feet, resided in Lodabar. The meaning of that name, Lodabar, means place of no pasture. Isn't that very interesting this morning? That a lame man, lame on both his feet, affected in every way by his lameness,
and he lived in Lodabar, a place of no pasture.
No sustenance. Only want. Nothing to fulfill. Barrenness. Dryness. Always searching for water. Searching for food. Oh, there was no sustenance in Lodabar. And again, my dear friend, that pictures the place in which you dwell this morning. You who are outside of Christ, you dwell in Lodabar.
For there is no sustenance in this world. There is nothing to fulfill you.
You're always searching, aren't you? Young person, you're always searching. Young person this morning, you who are not saved, you're searching for something, aren't you? You don't know what it is, but you're searching. You search for happiness.
Last night in Cheltenham, there were hordes of young people searching for happiness in the bars and in the clubs. Searching, searching, but not being fulfilled. No sustenance in that place. Oh, dear friend, you live in Lodabar. Spiritually lame. And you live in a place that is barren and dry. With no sustenance.
And unless you're brought from that place, unless you're brought from Lodabar, you will die in that spiritually dead condition. That condition of which you find yourself this morning. Oh, this place, Lodabar, is a picture of the world. And those that revel in the world, they live in poverty. Oh, my friend, this morning you may have wealth and a nice car and a big house. But let me say this, if you have not Christ, if you have not Christ, then you have nothing. You have nothing. Mephibosheth lived in Lodabar. But how, you may ask this morning, can I be brought out of this place?
How can I leave this barren, dry land, for I am spiritually lame?
Oh, but my friend, there is good news. For as with Mephibosheth, there was a gracious king. There was a king who considered Mephibosheth.
Oh, my dear friend, this morning God desires to show kindness to fallen man.
Kindness is a theme of this chapter. If you look very closely, you will find that kindness is mentioned in verse 1, verse 3, and, well, I'll let you look for the third place.
It is closely related to the word which we find in the New Testament for grace. This king, King David, was a king of kindness. He was a king of grace, and he showed that kindness and that grace toward a fallen creature, Mephibosheth. And my friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this old sin-cursed world and died on an old rugged cross for sinners.
Will you look to him this morning? To the one who gives that grace to come. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We think of that hymn, Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, praise God, but now I see. The one who was sought by this kindness. But then how? How can Mephibosheth get then from this place of Lodabar to the palace? Oh, let us consider how he was brought by this kindness. He was brought, for there was provision made for him to come. There was provision. We find there that the king, he sends and fetched him, verse 5. And then David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. He was sent for. He was called. He couldn't come himself, for he was spiritually lame. Oh, picture the scene, my dear friend, this morning. Picture the scene as the day breaks. The monotony of the day breaks again in Lodabar. And as Mephibosheth, he looks out his window and he views the barrenness and the dearth. And then from the distance, he sees a trail of dust. I wonder what this could be. A trail of dust in the distance, and it gets closer and closer and closer until within focus comes the mounted soldiers. What is this? What is this that is happening this morning? And as he focuses there on the soldiers, fear grips his heart. For the standard of David flies from those soldiers. He has been found. Can you feel the fear that he is feeling this morning? Oh, he can taste his fear. For the house of Judah has found him. He has been found. And then there comes the knock on the door. And as the door is opened, in fear and trepidation, what does he see? Does he see a soldier there with his hand upon the hilt of his sword? Does he see one as he draws his sword to smite him and put an end to the line of Saul? He sees a soldier holding out an invitation to the palace. He was called. He was called. And there would have been provision made for him. We don't know, we are not told whether he was put upon a cart and brought to the king's palace or whether he was sat upon a horse. But provision was made for him to come from that place of dearth and that place of want to look the beautiful palace of the king. Oh, my dear friend, so it is with you this morning who are unsaved. It is God who loves by His grace, His sovereign grace. It is God who seeks, my dear friend. It is God who calls. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4, verse 10. Let me ask this morning, Let me ask a personal question, my dear friend. You who are an unbeliever this morning, do you want to be found? Do you want to be found?
Are you willing to be found this morning? If the knock comes on your heart's door, are you willing to open it? Are you willing to embrace the free offer of the gospel?
It is God who loves. It is God who seeks. And as that free offer of the gospel goes forth this morning, the Spirit of God is seeking the lost sheep. Are you willing to come? Are you willing to embrace the provision that has been made?
Are you willing to embrace the forgiveness of sins?
I trust this morning that you will be giving that grace to take that step of faith and to come to Christ. But why? Why was there this provision made? Well, there was a previous covenant. There was a previous covenant, for as we view in 1 Samuel chapter 20, in 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 14, we read these words. These words are a dialogue between David and Jonathan. Verse 14, "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me," there's that word, "the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also that thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever, no, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David every one from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies." There was a previous covenant between David and Jonathan. This was why there was a provision made. This was why the free grace of David was shown forth to Mephibosheth, the one who was lame on both his feet. So too, in eternity past, there was a covenant made between God the Father and God the Son. And in that covenant, there was a provision that all those that will trust in Him would come. There was a previous covenant. Your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Praise His holy name. 1 John 2 and 12. Your sins are forgiven you because of Jesus' sake. Because of that previous covenant, the work of redemption is now complete. So what then will you do? Will you run from that free offer this morning? Do you seek to stay in Lodabar? Is that where you want to spend the rest of your days? In a place of dearth, no sustenance? Is that what you want? Oh, my dear friend, do you not feel the weight of your sin upon your shoulders? That you are helpless, spiritually lame. Do you not feel the weight of it? Finally, this morning, and briefly, let us look at the work that was wrought by this kindness. The work that was wrought. You see, David made a promise. He promised not only
to give back to Mephibosheth all of the land that was taken. And for Ziba and his sons and his servants to till the land and to bring in food for Mephibosheth. And what a great blessing this must have been for Mephibosheth, brought from that place of Lodabar, that place of poverty, and now having been given to him all of this, these heirlooms, all of the privileges that was due to him, now they are freely given. Food in abundance. But there was more. There was more. For in this promise, he was told that he would be sitting at the king's table. Oh, to have all of these blessings and all of this wealth and this land, oh, surely that would have been enough. Oh, but we are dealing with a picture, an imperfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in David. For as he was gracious towards Mephibosheth, he gave him not only all that pertained unto the house of Saul, but he sat him at the very table of the king, and he ate of the king's meat. What a privilege. What a blessing this was. He was adopted into the family of David. And thereby had all of the benefits and the privileges of a son of David. What wonder. Picture with me. Share with me the dinner table. And there's King David sitting at the head of it. And look, there's Absalom with his long, flowing, dark locks. The beautiful, the handsome Absalom. And there around about are all of David's sons and his family. And look, look at the picture. And there's Mephibosheth at the table with all of the sons. He's been adopted into David's family. C.H. Spurgeon said of this scene, Mephibosheth was no great ornament to the royal table. He was no great ornament. He went on to say, yet the king could see in Mephibosheth the features of his beloved Jonathan. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And you know, my dear friend, grace, the free grace of God, given through redemption to his people, that grace will restore to us all that was lost. Yea, and more, for we are adopted into the family of God. Christian, this morning you sit at the king's table and you eat of the king's meat. What a privilege, what a blessing, what a wonder. Spurgeon went on to say that, praise God, lameness is no bar to sonship. And praise God, spiritual lameness is no bar to sonship. Once we have been sought and found, we are adopted into the very family of God. You know, as Mephibosheth would have sat at that table, and as David seen in his features Jonathan, isn't it a wonderful picture to think that those crippled, broken, twisted legs were underneath the table? They couldn't be seen. they couldn't be seen.
And can I draw the parallel that through the work of Christ, through the work of the cross, that our sins are covered? They're remembered no more. Praise His holy name. They're covered underneath the blood of Christ. And as God the Father views us, He sees in us the features, I trust, the features of His beloved Son. Dear Christian this morning, does He see in you? Does He see in you the features of His beloved Son? Does God the Father view you this morning, Christian, and He sees the features of Christ? Are you walking well with your Savior? Are you keeping short accounts with Him? The kindness of the King. What wonder. And that greater King has shown to us grace and kindness. Someone has once said that grace is the goodness of God dealing with the guilt of the sinner's condition. We were guilty. We were lame. Spiritually lame. Yet in that condition, in mercy and grace, we have been sought and we have been bought. And praise God, the benefits which have been wrought for us, they are bountiful. Praise His holy name. Ralph Erskine, the great Scottish divine, speaking of the law paralleled with grace, he said this, "Of the law, do and you will live." And then speaking of grace, he says, live, for all is done. Of the law, you cannot ease my grief. And of grace, you yield me full relief. Of the law, it still shows me a fiery face. But of grace, oh, the gospel shows me a throne of grace. You know, Mephibosheth had been condemned, yet he was shown kindness by the King. And you know, this morning, the King of Kings, to you who are saved this morning, the King of Kings has adopted you into His family. My dear unsaved friend, oh, where are you found today? But you are found outside of Christ. Then you reside as spiritually lame in Lodabar. Oh, my dear friend. Notice how the chapter finishes. In verse 3, it mentions that he was lame on both his feet. Look at how verse 13 finishes. It brings emphasis on Mephibosheth's condition. Look at it. Read it. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. Look at those words. And was lame on both his feet. It emphasizes that he was fallen, but he was sitting at the king's table. He was sitting at the king's table. And Christian, this morning, though we be fallen, yet have we been saved by the mercy and grace of Christ. And we have been drawn from that place of Lodabar. And we sit at the King's table this morning, eating, feasting of the King's provision. All that provision cannot be used. It cannot be expended. It is ever available to us through sovereign grace. I close this morning with the words of a great hymn. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, lovely with unsinning heart, Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. May the Lord bless this morning for His name's sake.